My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Joseph Jaffe hosts a great podcast called Collective Cafe to Go. Joseph, tell listeners what to expect from the show.
The Collective Cafe is a virtual coffee experience which takes place every single Monday through Friday, 8 to 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Start your day off on the right foot, on the front foot, as you get ready for work. We talk business, marketing, entrepreneurship with live book reads and open mic sessions.
Awesome. And where can people subscribe?
Follow me. Follow at Jaffe Juice on social media. Find the show at marketingpodcast.net or search for Collective Cafe to Go wherever you get your favorite podcast.
You heard him. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Greg Monaco.
It's next to impossible to create specific, relatable storytelling if you're trying to serve three different personas. The storytelling automatically gets more generic, cliched, high level that really doesn't really mean anything or doesn't really captivate anyone. That's a lack of commitment to make a stand, to say, look, we need to speak to, you know, I like to call it, instead of a target audience, I like to call it a bullseye. Like, let's figure out who the bullseye is.
As a brand and story coach, Greg Monaco strategizes with authors, entrepreneurs, executives, and artists to refine their voice, build their presence, and attract dream opportunities. Greg's online network, Fearless Brands, is helping people in their pursuit of getting paid to do what they love. Previously, Greg was a founding partner of Monaco Lang, an independent global consultancy, and was a senior copywriter at Ogilvy, helping tell stories for clients like Girl Scouts of the USA, American Express, AT&T Wireless, and IBM, to name a few. Beyond branding, Greg has enjoyed many pursuits as an architectural photographer, professional soccer player, and filmmaker. He lives in Connecticut with his wife, Jill, and their three children, Aiden, Cameron, and Kylie. My interview with Greg Monaco is coming right up. But first, as you know, this show is literally about being on brand. And one of the best ways to be on brand is strong, consistent design. But that's easier said than done. On one end of the spectrum, you've got agencies who might not be as responsive as you'd like. On the other side of things, you have cheap marketplaces, which are cheap, but, well, cheap. In either scenario, you often end up with confused designers, missed deadlines, never-ending revisions, and countless additional costs. But there's another option you should know about: Superside, your one-stop shop for good design. Superside is a unique design subscription service that combines top designers from around the world with technology made to streamline the process for everyone involved. Your projects get done 20 times faster than in-house teams and 70% faster than agencies. This speed adds up, as it can cut design costs up to 50%. With Superside, you can increase production capacity during busy times without increasing headcount. This allows in-house designers to focus on strategic, big-picture design. Plus, you can easily store, share, and collaborate on design files across your team and stakeholders. Superside offers annual subscription plans that include a dedicated design team, single point of contact project managers, same-day turnarounds when needed, and access to Superside's purpose-built technology to make great design production easy. Plus, when listeners of the On Brand podcast sign up for an annual subscription, you get a month free. That's $3,000 worth of design. Choose the right side of design. Superside. Learn more now at bit.ly/SupersideOnBrand. That's bit.ly/SupersideOnBrand. All one word. Greg Monaco, welcome to On Brand.
Great to be here, Nick. Thanks for inviting me.
You know, your story is fascinating to me. I mean, it's one thing. We have people that have been in the agency world that have jumped from places like Ogilvy to something else and then to something else. But you, at the end of your bio, you've got architectural photography, soccer playing, filmmaking. What's the order of events here in your own story?
Well, I don't know if there is an order. It just, I think I was really good at just following my interests and what I love doing. So the first order of that was soccer. That's all I cared about. If you were to talk to about 12 year old Greg, I was pretty much one track mind there. So I was fortunate enough to play. I had a very short stint as a professional soccer player. So I got to at least check that off the list of things that I've done.
Well, I love that. And I'm making notes both as a podcaster and as a parent who has a teen that is basketball first always. And just thinking about that. And, you know, I think that even with that singular focus, I think, you know, these stories that we kind of end up reverse engineering from our lives always seem to make more sense in the rearview mirror than maybe they did going down the road initially. But in following those interests, what led you to brand building?
Well, I remember when I graduated college, I was a pretty aimless. I knew that I liked to do some creative arts of some kind. So that's why you saw architectural photography in there. I did event photography, I did portraits. I also filmmaker is in there. So I had an interest there that was budding as my soccer career was budding as well. So I followed those two things. And then, you know, long story short, I met a guy who was a copywriter on a commercial shoot. And he invited me back. I was curious because he's the guy who created the idea, which put everybody in motion around a commercial. So that, you know, everybody was here because of the idea that was birthed in his mind. So I got to see some of the things that he created, and it was like an entirely new world that was opened up to me about, oh my gosh, you can get paid to play like this. That's pretty cool. So that led to essentially a 5-year apprenticeship. The guy was generous enough. His name is John Shirley. So shout out to John. The small ad shop in Tampa, Florida called Shirley Hutchinson Creative Works. And he was my, I believe my first full-time hire. And I learned from him for 5 years, and that's where really the love of the game started.
Well, I think that's fascinating to think about and really to watch that evolution there, you know, as you start putting those stories into motion and then crafting stories for some of the bigger brands in your background from your work at Ogilvy. So what kind of common threads do you see in your approach to brand storytelling?
Well, as a copywriter, so I started as a guy who would get a brief, and the brief really consisted of the strategy, and I would look at that and start to create ideas around, well, how can we communicate this in the most magnetic way, so the client, you know, kind of checks off all the mandates that is required. And so that really started my journey in brand development, because as I got deeper and deeper into becoming a good copywriter, I got deeper and deeper into becoming a good strategist. And I was able to tell the difference between a good brief and a poor brief. And I think you'll notice that many copywriters in agencies are kind of cantankerous, jaded folk. And it's probably because they, you know, in order for them to do good work, the good work needs to be also on the strategy side. And not saying that Ogilvy is really one of the cream of the crop agencies. Not throwing shade there, but every once in a while you would get kind of a dud of a brief. And so, you know, it's those conversations that make you better. But the thing is that I would get beat up because I would write work that wasn't on strategy or on brand. And part of it was, well, maybe the brief wasn't very good. So in order to protect myself and my own ego, I had to make sure that those briefs were good. That turned into a career as a brand strategist and eventually opening up my own agency in New York City.
So you walked right into this one, but in the difference between a good brief and a poor brief, I always think of it as we're back to sports, but it's like a relay and it's a baton that you're getting, and you want the best baton. But there's folks out there probably on the client and strategy side that want to make sure that they're not in that column of giving a not so great baton or a poor brief. So what does make a good brief?
Specificity. One of the things that's a kind of a chronic problem in a brief is when you see something that has a primary audience, a secondary audience, and a tertiary audience. And it's next to impossible to create specific, relatable storytelling if you're trying to serve three different personas. The storytelling automatically gets more generic, and you can really point at the work that is generic, cliched, high level, that really doesn't really mean anything or doesn't really captivate anyone. So that's a lack of commitment on the client or, you know, the agency to make a stand, to say, look, we need to speak to a specific, you know, I like to call it, instead of a target audience, I like to call it a bullseye. Like, let's figure out who the bullseye is. So if we miss the bullseye, at least we're in range of some people that would make a difference for us. So that's one of the symptoms.
Yeah, boy, that's really interesting. I love, you know, just that focus on specificity, especially when you played it out through the creative work, because I'm sure there were people listening to that thinking, oh, we've got a primary and a secondary audience. It's you know, that's us being strategic. But when you apply that to the execution of creative work, it's exactly what you said. You end up with something that is watered down, generic, trying to be everything to everyone. And, you know, work just can't do that, nor should it with the digital tools that we have today. We can, you know, you can create a bullseye for different targets. Is that how you'd apply it to someone that said, but I do have a primary and a secondary?
Oh, yeah, you're right, Nick. I mean, there's a time and a place to captivate and inspire particular audiences. But when you're trying to do it all in one particular execution, it fails. Websites are really hard to do because of that, because it's sort of like this hub of information for many different people. So that's why you see a lot of times there's like what we call signposts to like direct particular audiences in a very particular way. You know, nonprofits have a real hard time with this because, you know, part of if the income for the nonprofit is donor related, well, you have donors that need to come to the site, and then you have maybe they're people that you're helping for the nonprofit is doing social good. So you have, you know, the end recipient of the benefits of the nonprofit, and then you have, you know, maybe the corporation. So you have all of these people that have competing reasons, not competing, but they have different reasons for wanting to engage with the organization. And there is a time and a place to captivate and inspire each of them.
That's such a good point. And again, this all sounds very self-serving because my wife works for a nonprofit. So I'm not only taking notes on life for my basketball player son, but also for my nonprofit working wife. And as you described that, I could almost see that website navigation out there, because that's how websites end up as confusing. They are hard. But it's sort of, you know, the same thing that we were just talking about with specificity of trying to be everything to everyone. And the website is one of the hardest things for that very reason. And that's why you end up with overly complex navigation. I feel like a lot of times it looks like there's a flatbed truck that's been kind of backed up. They just dumped everything out onto the website with no particular order at all. So how do you, in a scenario like that, bring about some order from the chaos?
Well, pick one that really matters to you. So if we keep with the nonprofit example that we brought up here, it's the people that you really are impacting that everybody else can kind of understand and relate to. So you don't want to build a website necessarily around the donor. You want to build it around the impact that you're creating, because a donor would get that, would understand that. Now, there's going to be a direct appeal at some point to the donor about why your nonprofit is a good investment, because there are many out there. But with the website, this is why strategy is so important. It's like with the website, we just want the donor to lean in. We don't need to tell them the whole story. We want them to have a second conversation with us in whatever form that might take. So that's one way.
On Brand, we'll be right back after this.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Joseph Jaffe hosts a great podcast called Collective Cafe To Go. Joseph, tell listeners what to expect from the show.
The Collective Cafe is a virtual coffee experience, which takes place every single Monday through Friday, 8 to 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Start your day off on the right foot, on the front foot, as you get ready for work. We talk business, marketing, entrepreneurship with live book reads and open mic sessions.
Awesome. And where can people subscribe?
Follow me. Follow at Jaffe Juice on social media. Find the show at marketingpodcast.net or search for Collective Cafe To Go wherever you get your favorite podcast.
You heard him. Go subscribe.
Now, back to the show.
So I want to talk a bit about your latest turn in the long and winding road of your career that we've discussed as a brand and story coach. Because I think, you know, you're talking about audience, you working with authors, entrepreneurs. What is the outcome? How does brand and story and the work that you're influencing impact dream opportunities?
Well, I'm fortunate enough to be doing stuff I really love to do. And part of it was that circuitous route that I took on the various different vocations. But I was never good at, you know, phoning it in. I need to be lit up. Otherwise, my energy level wasn't optimal. And that's the end result that I'm creating for others, is the opportunity to be doing the work that they love, no matter what the circumstance might be right now. There are ways that you can start to build a runway for the work that you really love. There's too many people out there that are suffering, and the suffering isn't just on with them and their own personal stress state, but it affects their families, it affects the relationships. So I believe this kind of pursuit to earning a living, doing the work you love, there's very few things that are as important in living as a human being.
Yeah. So before the brand and story, what if someone says, yes, yes, that's me. I have to be lit up too, like Greg, otherwise I'm just a drone here. But what if someone's listening and they don't know, or maybe that's a baton that you get and aren't working with specifically, but I have to imagine that there's some that don't quite have that dream crystallized.
Well, they just know what they're doing right now is going to be bankrupt in some way. Either, you know, someone's going to find them out and say, look, this guy's not, you know, giving 100%, or their own personal health will start to become at risk. So, but, you know, what is the alternative? So there's a little excavating that needs to be done, because I think all of us in our lives have these sort of moments where we're feeling like we have been inspired and on fire about something, even in work that we might not like. There are these moments where we are contributing to others in a way that actually lights us up. We are serving others, and in that service, something electric happens. Or maybe it's a hobby that you have as a side thing. It might not be something that you're necessarily making money at. So it's in recognition of those moments that you can start to create a new version of yourself that accesses what you really, really love to do. And it's really as simple. I know there's a lot that goes into like building a business, but it all starts with a declaration of some kind. And sometimes in that declaration, you need to really understand why things aren't working for yourself right now. So just like why the current state of being isn't working and what you would like as a result. I mean, that, you know, which is, maybe that's, you know, doing the work that you love to do. So it's in declaring that change can actually start to happen. I mean, the Declaration of Independence for the United States is a prime example of like, look, this isn't working. We're not exactly sure, you know, what's going to result. And it was not a clean, you know, break. I mean, you know, it incited a war, and then right. We went through a civil war nearly 100 years after it. And, you know, but the declaration was pivotal, and it was just words on a page. So that's what I'm trying as a copywriter and a storyteller. The words are powerful. Once you get some words on a page and you have a recognition that, you know what, I really love doing this. Maybe there's a job there. Hey, let's make it happen.
Well, it's funny because it started as a clunky joke from me about it being like the brief that you're given, but it really is. It's sort of like the Declaration of Independence is a great example of a brief that gets something started, a declaration, and I love the idea of it's almost like an individual needs a brief to maybe make that start. Then as well.
I totally agree. Totally agree with that. Yep.
So what role does someone's brand and story play in bringing that to life?
Well, it's the centerpiece, really. Because ideas are ephemeral, they come and go. And if you don't actually codify it on paper and on a document, then all of the realities of life will start to layer on top of it. And before you know it, it evaporates. So that's why I call myself a brand and story coach, because, you know, brand, everything is a brand. Brand is really a collection of perceptions, but the story part is you actually authoring your brand, you actually having agency in what you want to create for yourself. For most people, the brand is something that's just created by default. Just, you have a brand, whether you know it or not. Are you actually taking ownership of it? So the story part is authorship and ownership of your brand. So once you get it in words, then it starts to become more and more real. Words will turn into action. Even if they're small actions, they'll turn into something.
And I feel like I'm doing what I tend to do sometimes, which is go through the definition hour, because I think that the people's definitions of things can do exactly what you just said, can help bring that into action. And you talk a lot about refining voice. What does, you know, I think when we talk about brands and brands that have voice, but what about the role of individuals, authors, entrepreneurs, executives, recognizing and understanding what their unique voice is? How does that work?
Well, I mean, everybody has a unique voice, so it's recognizing it. And I alluded to this earlier when we were talking about the zone of genius, but you have some natural gifts, and through all of the skills and experiences that you've had, you may have, almost like, you know, in the show Fixer Upper, they're always, you know that show, right?
Yeah.
So, but they're always going into an old home and they're like, you know, pulling, they have like their demo day where they pull up the flooring and there's this, in, you know, underneath the linoleum is this beautiful oak floor, or like a stained glass window, you know, behind some drywall. Right. Doing that little bit of excavation on yourself to really understand what it is that you just are naturally great at and you love to do, you know, that's like the first part of developing, you know, the muscle for accessing, you know, what it is that makes you interesting and unique, because everybody has it. It's just a matter of going in and pulling it out.
Right. It's back to, it's more excavation. I always think that branding work is kind of like mining, because we know there's something there. Like you said, everyone has a voice, everything can be a brand, but sometimes it's kind of in a rock that we have to chip everything else away at. So you've reminded us of some useful tools for doing just that. Greg, we've mentioned a few different brands, and I smiled a bit myself at the mention of Fixer Uppers, but what's a brand that has made you smile recently?
Well, I have two kids who are on their way to college. They're seniors in high school right now, so I've been on the college sort of touring track, and I have to say that As a brand guy, I was super impressed at how academic institutions are storytelling. They are, I would say, across the board, we could really go to school about how sophisticated they are as marketers, and how they, I mean, essentially, they're selling the same product. It's an education. But the package that it comes in, it couldn't be more different. And how my kids reacted to their brands of choice, it was all image, all brand development, all storytelling. So each school that we visited or that we saw online or that was contacted had a different sort of way of being. And so my son he decided on the University of Utah. And I knew nothing about University of Utah, but I did get, when we visited the campus, and you know, it's right there in the, in Salt Lake City, really close to ski mountains, which my son loves skiing. That school was definitely about outdoor adventure and being part of this rising star, you know, this rising star in the Pac-12. And then my daughter, we visited University of Tennessee. We visited a lot of campuses, but this place was all about the spirit, the tradition, the energy, the community of being a UTK volunteer and what that means. And it fit with her. It fit with, I mean, honestly, if I were to now look at it, looking back, I would say I'd draw a straight line from that school to the personality of my daughter, and also a straight line with that school and the personality of my son. So that's just a recent example of like really good, smart brand development, understanding what kind of student would make sense at these schools and going for it.
Yeah. You know, I love it when these smiles end up bringing us kind of full circle too, because I think back to that powerful and simple answer you gave us early in the show of specificity. Because college, like you said, they're all selling the same thing, can't be everything to everyone. And, you know, on the side of that, I being an educator at the University of Iowa here, you know, we know from what we see in the market that there was this drop off in having kids here in the Great Recession, and there's going to be a big drop off in numbers at colleges and universities. So that specificity that you talk about is going to be absolutely critical, because you can't just be, oh yeah, we're the local whatever, and we'll get whoever. It's going to get a lot more competitive. So those stories that you highlight of seeing things and going for it, absolutely mm-hmm. critical. Greg, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, quite simply, letsgomonaco.com. That's my website, and everything you need to know about me is right there.
Awesome. Well, we will inspire folks to Let's Go Monaco with a link on our website at onbrandpodcast.com. Greg, thanks for being on brand with us.
My pleasure, Nick. It was a lot of fun.
On Brand is part of the Marketing Podcast Network. If you like what you're hearing, if we've made you smile, you can always listen free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever your favorite platform may be. And please take a moment and rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Joseph Jaffe hosts a great podcast called Collective Cafe to Go. Joseph, tell listeners what to expect from the show.
The Collective Cafe is a virtual coffee experience which takes place every single Monday through Friday, 8 to 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Start your day off on the right foot, on the front foot, as you get ready for work. We talk business, marketing, entrepreneurship with live book reads and open mic sessions.
Awesome. And where can people subscribe?
Follow me. Follow at Jaffe Juice on social media. Find the show at marketingpodcast.net or search for Collective Cafe to Go wherever you get your favorite podcast.
You heard him. Go subscribe.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.